This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are, get ready for the Google Thanksgiving travel report. 3 million kids who have GPS-based watches are supposedly being tracked, and not just by their parents. Facebook is answering more questions and under extreme fire. And of course, video throttling within the mobile industry. It's under scrutiny and Congress wants answers. I want to welcome you to episode 1327 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, November 15th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. And for those of you part of the Ohana, I'm glad to be back after being off for a Veterans Day. Thank you for being here. Matter of fact, if I'd have tried to have done a show on Veterans Day, I may not have actually been able to physically do it. We'll talk about that in a second. But for those of you that are new to the show, hey, welcome to the podcast. And take a few moments if you can and just get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, all you got to do is get subscribed to the show via Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Android, via email, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, however you like to consume podcast. I've got a way for you to do it right on the website. Just click on the link of your app of choice. And of course, if you're just using the standard standard podcast app, you can use the RSS feed as well. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, click on the more subscribe options. Of course, you can subscribe to the newsletter on the website at the same time that you're there. That's a great way to stay connected with the show because I send out a newsletter immediately following the show publication that basically links to everything that I'm going to talk about tonight. Of course, if you come back to the website about a day after and you wanted to rehash a specific part of the episode, Kirk goes through the show and actually puts the time hack links that basically just click on the link and it launches you right to that direct portion of the website. Of course, you can watch the show on the Apple TV via the Geek News Central podcast video feed. You can listen to it on blueberry.com. You can listen in your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. We are live every Monday and Thursday night at live.geeknewscentral.com on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Twitter, Twitch, and of course over at Mixer. You can join our chat room, our Mastodon chat room at geeknews.chat. Drop a comment in there. Of course, if you don't like using a Mastodon chat server, you can be part of our Slack channel as well. All you got to do is send me an email and we'll get you connected on the Slack channel. But of course, again, back on that, I forgot to actually show this for those of you watching. The live page has a place for you to make comments. And you can also, of course, do that on our Facebook stream. So, yes, plenty ways to stay connected with the show. And we want you to do just that. You can contact me on this show, or contact me if you have comments on the show at geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter at geeknews. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook. Partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week in Review. So check that out. Kirk put out an episode last week, even though he was still fighting being a little under the weather. So definitely give Kirk some feedback on his show. We got the Gadget Professor. He's actually missing this week. I think Don decide to stay a little bit longer in Italy with his girlfriend. So maybe he didn't put enough shows in the can. I saw that email came through, but at thegadgetprofessor.com. The Pro Gear site, progear.guru, written by my great writing team. The New Media Show, which I do every Saturday with Rob Greenlee. And we cover everything that's going on in the podcasting space. And of course, the Podcast Legend Show. If you want to pick up some gear, you can do so at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Don't forget, this show is sponsored by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been with the show since June of 2005, and I cannot express more my appreciation for your ongoing long-term support of the sponsor of this podcast. We would not continue to hold GoDaddy as a sponsor for as long as we have without your ongoing support of buying products and services over there. And I truly appreciate that. Some of you link to the website, some of you tweet about it, some of you tell your friends, family members, people that you know to either pick up a domain name, a hosting account. Really, it runs the full gamut. And we want to thank you for your ongoing support. But if you are in the market for an online product, GoDaddy.com has really everything you need to get online. And whether that be a 30% savings on new product purchases, a 99cent.com, whether it be a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, $12 get you going, or a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again, with a free domain, $12 get you started. The domain value is $8.49 alone. So, you know, it's really, they're giving the website away to you almost for free for that first year. Might as well be free, as low as it costs. Or if you're a business owner, 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. Now, as a reminder, this keeps Geek News Central an independent podcast. It allows me to continue to pay our writers, literally keep the lights on here, insurance, family fed, everything that happens is a large portion of that is our good friends at GoDaddy and their sponsorship and the support of this show. So definitely we appreciate your ongoing financial support by using their products and services and basically trusting me to promote to you a great product and service that I stand behind completely and have been since June of 2005. Okay, so again, thanks for GoDaddy. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy is the page to go to find those deals. So what have I been up to for the last week? Well, Thursday, after the show, I told you I wasn't going to be doing a show on Monday. And Friday I was not feeling 100% Thursday night, but it wasn't my back. But by Friday afternoon, I had this my back just decided to, you know, put me down on my knees. Basically the strongest pain medicine I take is ibuprofen or Motrin or something to that effect. I was taking 800 milligram Motrins every 8 hours, and you're only supposed to take that level of dosage every 8. And I was sometimes sneaking them at 6, just because it was bad. I mean, it was bad, bad, bad. And, it really it put me down, grumpy, couldn't move around. I couldn't sit. And the only real place I got, relief was standing up. Even laying down, things were horrible. So I just had it, and I haven't had that long of a session, usually like a day or something. I was laying on the floor, doing everything I could, try to find relief, and it just wasn't happening. So I just had to work its way through and just completely destroyed my weekend. By Monday night, I was feeling a little better. Tuesday morning, I woke up and I was like, wow, my eyes weren't watering from getting out of bed. And I said, okay, maybe I don't need to take no ibuprofen. And basically, maybe I think I took a 400 milligram later in the day. But by Wednesday, kind of back to semi-normal. I did get in and get a shiatsu appointment on Wednesday afternoon. And oh man, my shiatsu guy, he laughed the entire time. Oh, Tada-san, you know, you're, stand by. Of course, and more tears came to my eyes as he worked through the issues. So I think he found what was going on and he dug in and we'll see. I made an appointment to go back in 3 weeks, but here's the stupidity of my part. For years, I've been seeing him every 3 weeks. 3 to 4 weeks is about the length of time I went between going seeing my shiatsu guy and not having barely an issue really here for a number of years. And I don't know, something 2-3 months ago, we got off track. I was busy. He was moving his business, blah, 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 blah. And I just paid the price. So I've kind of learned my lesson here. I'm hopefully get back in the groove of seeing him. Just enough of an adjustment to keep me right. I keep telling, he's getting older, and I keep telling him, you know, John, you cannot, you cannot retire, or you have to find me someone that has good of a, I guess for a better word, a thumb as he does. But anyway, that's what my past week has been. Lots of meetings, lots of calls, just busy from sun up to sundown. But here we are, and we're together, and I've talked too much. We'll get into the tech. For those of you that are new to the show, what we really do here is I give you a bunch of tech, and we're going to get into that in a second. But I spend about the first 10, 12, 13 minutes of the show kind of catching guys up, going through the normal routine, you know, and this is just this way this show is, and this way it's been for what are we on tonight? 1327 episodes. And the Ohana, the family members of this show, are as much part of the family, of my family, as my actual family. So you guys are all a big part of the, you know, team here. And if you're new, I want to welcome you to the Hana, and thank you for letting me indulge. But this is the format of the show, and it's different than some other shows, but it is what it is. And I've been doing this now since October of 2004. So heading into the 15th year here. And for me, this is fun, and it's a lot, gives me an opportunity to chit chat and share my ideas. But anyway, we're up on all these different live streams. We're an hour earlier now. It's only 5 hours. So there's no excuse. People can actually see the show. I started tonight at 7 p.m. So that means the latest it is on the West Coast is 9. So better to watch me than to watch the BloobTube, right? Or watch YouTube videos. You can watch me here live doing the show. So I've been trying to go a little bit earlier. That's something I've been trying to do. I don't always succeed, but that has been the goal here, is to go as early. It's probably 7 is about the earliest Hawaiian Standard Time that I can go live. But anyway, let me go ahead and get into the stack of stuff here. First of all, Thanksgiving is fast approaching. Matter of fact, I'm like, do we have a turkey? And magically, a turkey appears in the refrigerator. And do we have a ham? And magically appears a ham in the refrigerator. And of course, my wife bought too many potatoes, and I was telling her, make sure you get the big ones because I don't like peeling the small ones, but she got the small ones. So maybe we're going to do a little different mashed potato this year. Maybe I'll leave the skin on the potatoes, but anyway, getting the influx of food and my daughter. So I'm going to invite some friends over, and I'm like, how many? Because, you know, there's only 5 of us here, and my son's going to be gone with his girlfriend to Los Angeles. So that's 4. How much turkey can 4 of us really eat? And so she's getting me a head count, and I'm like, maybe you're going to have to get another bird. So anyway, but Thanksgiving for many of you means getting in the car. And Google is going to have a Thanksgiving report to help you avoid traffic and crowds with millions of people traveling. Boy, oh boy, it's a nightmare for many of you. Google Maps has already informed you about how congested the roads are on typical days, and now the team has produced a report specifically for Thanksgiving that shows you the busiest periods before and after the holiday. In addition to the traffic, the report also shows historical busy times. So it's going to give you a rundown here of how the traffic's going to be. Now, things are going to be a little crazy for me because on Thanksgiving's on Thursday. Of course, Black Friday is Black Friday. Probably going to do nothing. Saturday, I have the new media show in the morning. And then Saturday night, I get on an airplane. I go to the East Coast. And I'm on the East Coast for a full week. Shows as normal while I'm on the East Coast, Monday and Thursday. There'll be 2 shows, audio only. And then I fly back on Saturday. So I'm going to have kind of a weird Thanksgiving holiday weekend because it involves travel, getting ready to get into the East Coast for meetings come Cyber Monday. But anyway, so Google's going to have this report to help you avoid some of those peak travel times. And they list all the major cities and some details that go along with that. And I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. This article that I discovered this afternoon, or that Kirk discovered, it you know, basically outlines what's happening with these GPS watches. So, according to the Register, up to 3 million kids' GPS watches can be tracked by parents, and apparently any hackers. Parents could be unwittingly putting their children's safety and privacy at risk thanks to security vulnerabilities. The cheapo watches are supposed to be worn by the youngsters and use SIM cards to connect to cellular networks. I know a lot of people, I have friends that use these. The idea is they beam to back-end servers the GPS-located coordinates of the wearer so the parents can, via website or app, find out where the kids are at all times. Now, that some of the phones actually let your kids call you. However, an investigation by the British security shop Pen Test Partners has shown that the software used by smartphone app that communicates with the watches is so poorly coded that the connections are easy to hijack. Meaning that people that maybe you don't want knowing where your kids are can snoop on kids as if they were the parents. The probe began when a friend of one of those InfoSec folks bought a MySafes, as MISAFES, MySafes kid watcher for his offspring, a snap at just 10 pounds for the unit, but after playing around with, they found shocking levels of insecurity. There was no encryption like it was like the 1990s. And they believe that in excess of 1 million smart kids tracking watches with similar vulnerabilities being used, with possibility in excess of 3 million globally. And it may not be just this specific vendor. I've always been a little weirded out by those watches, and I understand why parents are using them. I really do, with what's going on in the world today. But this is a little unnerving, to be frank. So, you know, when I was a kid, and, you know, let's qualify this here. Probably when I was 5, you know, my mom would probably let me go in the backyard. And by the time I was 8 or 9, I was, of course, I lived in the country. I was running all over the place. And by 10, I was, you know, free bird. You know, don't come back in before dark. That was kind of the rule, right? And, but, you know, it was a different time. And, you know, my best friend's house was a mile away. My grandparents' house was a mile away. And I either rode my bike or walked over there or, you know, so I think a lot of kids, though, parents try to give their kids a little bit of freedom, but they still have this nagging thought in the back of their head. What if, right? And being able to communicate with your kids and make sure they stay within zone of where they're supposed to be is good. And, this researcher wrote some simple C code and he automated the process, and he would have been able to very easily access the account of our 12,000 MySafe watches and also be able to download a photo of each child. Now, this is crazy. Think about this. He would have been able to access the accounts of over 12,000 MySafe watches and also download a photo of each child plus the name and other aforementioned personal details, as well as the phone number of the parents of the watch itself. This is crazy. And they basically use some IMEI tools. And IMEI is the information that identifies every device, every mobile device. It's a long character. And using some ID spoofing, he could really do some damage here. So please, please, please look, if you have one of these, or you have given one of these for a, a birthday present or you're a grandparent and gave this to a parent, please check into the security of this, of these GPS watches, the ones that you have bought. And, you know, reference this particular article when you reach out to the vendor that has sold you that device to find out, are you affected here? They may not admit it, but time to do a little research here, because the word's out with this article being out, and you know that there are some dubious, nasty, sickening individuals out there that are in the back of their minds, they're scheming ways that they can track up to 3 million kids. And it's very, very scary, if you ask me. So I think I would be taking a GPS watch if I had one on one of my kids, and I think I'd be smashing it in about a million pieces. And usually it's not a teenager that has one of these. It's usually a very, you know, 10, 12, you know, just about old enough to kind of go to the park maybe on their own, but not, you know, depends, I guess, where you live too. Some of you are wrinkling your nose, but where I grew up, again, I was a free bird at about 10 or 11. I mean, I didn't have to, you know, just be home before dark, right? So anyway, I'm going to move on here, but very, very scary stuff. Hey, Rich, thanks for being on the live stream. How you doing? Yes, Wizard. Yes, indeed. For those of you that know what that means. Facebook CEO has reportedly told executives to stop using their iPhones. It appears that comments critical of Facebook from Apple CEO Tim Cook didn't go down so well with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. He reportedly told Facebook executives to start using iPhones and start using Android smartphones instead. Zuckerberg reportedly told them to switch to Android phones as the OS has a higher usage worldwide compared to iOS. And it was in relation to Cook's comments in the wake of the Facebook's Cambridge Analytica data scandal. But it goes much, much deeper. There is a report out today by the New York Times that has the folks over at Facebook on the defensive. And it basically says that Facebook knew for a significantly long period of time that they had problems with foreign actors. And they did interviews with more than 50 people to show how Facebook stumbled in dealing with multiple crises, which Zuckerberg and Sandberg initially, and this is the key word here, tried to obscure. They tried to hide this and, you know, put people into a delay, deny, and deflect, and hired some firms to actually go after people. And this is pretty nasty stuff. But here's what I want you guys to really think about. Facebook is big. They do revenue higher than some countries, right? They have immense power over our lives. If you're a daily Facebook user, think about how they can shape how we act and how we think by the content they put in front of us. They have an incredible amount of power. And this is why I continue to say that, you know, we should call it again, Facebag is really, in the scheme of things, something we all have to start moderating our usage on. But with 2.2 billion people using the service, they have a lot of power, and they can deflect, and they can apply pressure, and they can hire PR firms and lobbyists to do their battles for them. Now, Facebook has allies in Washington, D.C. You know, they got Senator Chuck Schumer. He has intervened on behalf of the team at Facebook before. And but these crises that they have been up against, they've done, you know, instead of trying to answer things head on, they've, again, tried to deflect and push things to the side. But this is pretty, pretty significant. This article is well worthy of a read by all of you. And talks about how they tried to minimize the information that they knew Russia was doing in the role of the 2016 elections. It just goes on and on and on. This is a probably, you know, I'm not necessarily a fan of the New York Times, but they put out a pretty good piece here. And they had a number of writers that worked on this. And Facebook is in the bullseye of some pretty damning information out there. So I'm going to recommend that all of you please read this article. If you have, again, you get so many free reads on the New York Times each month. And if you've ran out already, and you know, I don't have a subscription. I was able to click it and I think you get 15 free views a month. Come back to this if you've already run out, or find a copy of it somewhere else. It's this is big. And you know, this is I think this is, and of course Facebook immediately is on the defense, coming back and saying how it was inaccurate and how they didn't know this information this earlier and a whole bunch of things. Well, I think they got some answering to do. I really do. They're definitely, this, we haven't heard the last of this. This is, this story's going to stick around for a few days. On top of that, Facebook removed over 1.5 billion fake accounts in the last 6 months. Now you think about that. 1.5 billion fake accounts. That's an incredible number. Now that's up from 1.3 billion they removed in the previous 6 months. So if you just wonder how widespread false and fake content is on Facebook, you really have to go no further than that. So be careful what you're consuming out there and who you're following and linking to, and make sure that the people that are friending you, you actually know who they are. It's, you know, that's, you know, some simple advice here. And I think probably all of us are following that. Let me see if I've got anything else on this specific article. I don't think so. There's three different pieces here. Kirk found the core piece, and then I grabbed a couple of more. But anyway, you guys will be able to follow through. Senators want answers from mobile carriers on video app throttling. If you've ever had a suspicion that your carrier may be slowing down your internet speeds while streaming videos, you aren't alone. Three U.S. Senators, Edward Markey, Democrat of Massachusetts, Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, and Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, are pressing the four major carriers about alleged throttling. In a letter addressed to the heads of AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile, the senators claim the carriers may be inappropriately throttling and prioritizing internet traffic from popular streaming video apps, including Netflix, YouTube, Amazon Prime, NBC Sports, and Skype. The line of inquiries cite research from WeHe, a mobile app developed by research at Northeastern University and the University of Massachusetts. So those researchers found that nearly every carrier throttles at least one app, with YouTube being the primary target. So they want the carriers to explain themselves. Good luck with that happening. Of course, we got devastating fires out west, with literally thousands of people having lost their homes, a large loss of life. And of course, you know, it's been dubbed the Camp Fire. There's some great satellite imagery over space.com that, you know, shows the extent of the smoke pattern. And it's just, it looks pretty devastating from space. And of course, it looks even worse on the ground. But if you want to see how devastation is being tracked from our satellites in space, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. All right. You're going to laugh at this one. This one is no surprise to me. Japan's new cybersecurity minister. Now listen to this. Japan's new cybersecurity minister admits he's never used a computer. Now, you're going to be like, what? Yoshitaka Sakuruda, 68, has never used a computer. Japanese lawmakers were understandably baffled when on Wednesday he appeared confused when asked some basic technology questions relating to the use of USB drives in nuclear power plants. He says, I don't know the details well. So about having an expert answer your question if necessary. The man who is supposed to be the expert said, he added that he has been running his own business since the age of 25, he simply orders employees or secretaries to use a computer when necessary. I don't type on a computer. Now, let me just, many of you are probably like, kidding me. No. Japanese bosses and big companies are gods. Their every need is taken care of. They have mobile devices. That's what they use. They don't use computers. Their employees take care of everything. This does not surprise me in the least. It would be unimaginable for any company CEO in the United States to not have extensive computer skills. If nothing else, be able to check email, be able to use Word, look at spreadsheets, all that stuff, right, that we all do digitally. I can't imagine asking my employees, well, can you do this for me on the computer? No. But in Japan, I am not at all surprised. Because, again, they're big-time mobile users. And there's a lot of people in Japan that even... of all age ranges that don't own a computer. They do everything on a mobile device. And maybe they have to use one for their job. But, you know, when you go into a store now and they're still counting change with the click, 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 click. They have these, I forget what they're called, abacuses, I think. And this is amazing. Now, this isn't the first time he's caused controversy. He's also overseeing the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. And so, you know, there's he is a figurehead. It's all about the good old boy club in Japan. Not the good old lady club, the good old boy club. A male dominated, ruled, run. It's the way it is in Japan. And it's so some stuff so far behind is just, oh my gosh. Now, you know, Japan is widely known for being one of the most technological and innovative in the world. But political appointments aside, the boss is king in Japan, and they, most of them don't have to do too much except bark out orders. Do this for me. Get my coffee. Bring me the newspaper. Get my lunch. That's that way in Japan, big time. At least my personal exposure. And ladies, I know it's going to make you mad, but very, 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 very male-dominated society in a big way. All right, moving off that. TechCrunch is reporting a leaky database of SMS text messages exposed password resets and two-factor codes. The exposed server belongs to VoxOx, formerly Telecentris, a San Diego-based communications company. The server wasn't protected with a password, allowing anyone who knew where to look to peek and snoop on near real-time stream of text messages. So basically, if you get a text, if you ever get one of those automated texts that, okay, you just logged in to Google or you've accessed your bank account and here's the authority code to, you know, your two-party authentication, all that stuff is usually sent through services. And at least 26 million text messages year to date were exposed. And that's big. Now, here's some companies that data was found from. Booking.com, Fidelity Investments, First Tech Federal Credit Union, information from Amazon for tracking information, UPS tracking numbers, even some game stuff, HQ Trivia, Keiko Talk, Viper. Viper's a chat app used in Asia a lot. Several small to mid-sized hospitals, medical facilities, sent reminders to patients about their upcoming appointments, and in some cases, billing inquiries. Yahoo uses the service to send some account keys by text message. Batto, booking.com. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So, yeah, they just left the server unlocked. People could get in there and review a live stream of SMS messages. Really simply amazing. All right, Elon Musk, SpaceX wants FCC approval to put 7,000 Starlink internet satellites into orbit. The decision by the FCC paves the way for SpaceX to build its full network of about 12,000 satellites intended to blanket the Earth in wireless internet access. Proponents say next-generation satellite internet technology could help developing countries and rural areas connect to economic opportunities currently out of reach of them because they lack competitive internet access. So the FCC gave SpaceX approval next month for its first 4,400 satellites. The company's initial goal to place 1,600 satellites in the next few years, but it said it could take more than 6 years to complete the full network. So I wonder if they're going to piggyback some of these satellites on some of their normal lifts. That's the question. Doesn't say what orbit they're going to put them in. Well, we'll see what happens here. We'll see if SpaceX can pull this off. You live in Massachusetts. Comcast owes Massachusetts customers $700,000 in refunds for misleading advertising. The company will also cancel the debts of more than 20,000 customers as part of the settlement. The settlement revolves around allegations that Comcast didn't disclose the monthly cost in terms of its long-term cable contracts. This includes not telling customers that the company could raise the cost of some monthly fees anytime during the contract after they told them they'd been locked into like a $99 plan. So, of course, people were getting hit with $240 early termination fees. And so anyway, they got hit pretty good here. So nice to see a win for the people. Of course, $700,000 spread amongst the people that were affected probably doesn't amount to very much to each individual person. The Verge is reporting that Fox News is upset at Twitter for responding too slowly to the Tucker Carlson docs. Now, if you guys didn't know about this, some group, they had a Twitter account, posted the address to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson is a news person on their network, or a news entertainer, whatever they call these folks these days. And so they published his published his address, and then his home was besieged by protesters, and they got pretty nasty. And Fox had submitted a takedown of this, and basically Twitter was so slow to respond that Fox has gotten a little bit upset, and their Twitter account has been dark. They have not published a single tweet for the last 7 days. Now, who does this hurt? Does this hurt Fox, or does this hurt Twitter? Now, usually when you have an issue with someone and you want to call them out, what do? You call them out on Twitter, you call them out on Facebook, you call them out on Instagram, you call them out everywhere you can, you dog them as much as you can and build public opinion as much as you can. But yet Fox chose to be silent. It's interesting here, right? It is very interesting. Multiple outlets reported over the weekend that Fox News' Twitter break was a protest of social media company's slow response to request to delete tweets that contained Carlson's home address. The Verge reached out to Fox News for comment. While they said they weren't speaking about the Twitter silence publicly, they didn't refute the other news reports. They count that Dox Carlson Smash Racem DC was eventually suspended. Fox reportedly complained to Twitter about the account, but instead of immediately removing the inappropriate content, Twitter instead insisted Fox open a support ticket. Okay. If you can't report an issue with their own tools, and I'm sure that support ticket would have went into a queue and waited for hours. So, interesting move. What do you think about Fox's maneuvering here? Are you on AT&T? And you have a parental, a couple of kids on, have mobile phones as well? AT&T is sunsetting its parental control Smart Links app and replacing with a new app called Secure Family. The new app will be available on November 26th and includes new features like location tracking, time limits, and content filtering. You have to pay for this. It's 10 lines for $7.99 a month. Of course, it's not free. They don't give anything away from free. According to Engadget, the iPhone, there's an iPhone X bug, iPhone 10 bug that lets hackers snag deleted photos. Think about that. Whether it's because they're unflatteringly inappropriate or just plain terrible, we've all deleted photos, right? You know, when you delete a photo in the iPhone, it actually goes to a deleted folder, which doesn't truly delete for 30 days. Well, during a contest for hackers, they connected to the device, which was running iOS 12.1 through a malicious Wi-Fi access point and exploited a vulnerability in a just-in-time compiler, which helps iPhones run faster by processing code while a program is running. And they were able to grab a photo from the recently deleted album in the Photos app. They earned a $50,000 bounty and have reported the bug to Apple, which it has not yet to this date been deleted. All right. Bada bing, bada boom. All right. How many, you know, I've got sitting behind me here an antenna and a amplifier and some things to wire up for over the air TV. I need to get that done this coming weekend. But there's a new way to cut the cord for do-it-yourself nerds, and it might be the best way as well. Silicon Dest is best known for its series of HD Home Run DVR devices. But they've gone a little bit further here. Now, for $35 a month, you can stream 45 cable channels on top of all the content you're pulling down from your antenna. They make this at a pretty good price, but you have to purchase one of their HD Home Run devices that handles over-the-air transmissions that will record to an external hard drive for $80. So, some of the channels they have is Nickelodeon, True TV, QVC, AMC, VH1, Lifetime, TBS, Travel Channel, Cartoon Network, Headline News, Hallmark, ESPN, Bravo, BET, FX, Comedy Central, National. This is almost the same lineup as YouTube TV. There's no HBO offering. But anyway, for your do-it-yourselfers, this is something to consider. Link will be up in the show notes on this. $35 a month gets you, again, 42 channels, but you got to buy their little DVR device as well. If you're a Firefox user, Firefox will now inform you if you visit a recently breached website. Firefox monitors a free service from Mozilla. It notifies users when their email has been part of a breach. Hundreds of thousands of users signed up for the service. Mozilla is now offering a monitor in over 26 languages so that more people can use the service in their native language. I'm still a big fan of LifeLock. I don't have an affiliate code or nothing, but I've been using LifeLock now for 2 or 3 years. And you have this big online presence like I do, you almost have to have something in place. I have two really things in place. I have a credit monitoring service that monitors all my, it sends me, like, hit the card, I get a report, lots of different things, and then, of course, LifeLock. So, doubly, you know, able to double watch what's going on with, from an identity theft standpoint. But this is something that looks like it's free. So pretty cool here. So I have that link in the show notes for you to check out. Lyft has enabled default tipping and a 5-star rating for drivers. And so again, Lyft is adding a couple driver-focused features for its ride-sharing to make it easier for passengers to tip. With a default tipping option, Lyft will also allow passengers to tip while they're still on the ride so they don't forget about it when rushing out of the car. And I had this turned on for my recent Lyft ride, and I thought that was just automatic already. But anyway, there's some new features in the Lyft app, and maybe I was part of some beta or something. All right, Google Assistant has added some smart home bells and whistles in time for the holidays, something called broadcast message, which will broadcast a message over multiple devices, recipe functions, some stuff for the kids that has some kid-oriented alarm features. So some updates there for you for Google Assistant. Link will be in the show notes. SpaceX ties its record for the most launches in a year, and they put one up today. They basically launched the ESHAIL 2 satellite and ESHAIL 2, and they did land the stage on the drone ship, so that was a good launch. So with the launch today, they've flown 18 missions this year, tying its record set in 2017. And they're saying the company could fly as many as 4 more rockets this year. So pretty impressive here. You know, it's getting to be, I hate to say it, there's nothing routine in space launches, but they're really making some progress here, aren't they? Google Maps will now let you chat with businesses. This is something new. There's a blog post from Google announcing a new feature for Google Maps. After it rolls out to the iPhone and Android users, there will be a new message button on the left-hand slide-out drawer that lets you message the business you find in Google Maps. A business that wants to participate will need to use Google's My Business Verification System and associated app to send and receive messages. I wonder how much that costs for the businesses. Well, it seems like a genuinely useful feature. If you want to ask a store or a restaurant a quick question, but how quick is the response actually going to come? You're going to have people that are going to be monitoring this all the time to do a response. And, but, you know, Google's big on launching messaging stuff at this point. I don't know how many ways they can spin it here. Because oftentimes I'll find messages for us, a variety of different places, and I'll respond like I wake up and there's 5 messages in a place that asking for support where they could have already had support. If they'd emailed support, people just want an easy way to connect with people. And I understand it. But it's really not built into our current support mechanism, which we're looking at. But and how do you respond to people when you're everyone's in bed? We're not a 24/7 company. Uber's lost over $1 billion in Q3 as it closes in on an IPO. It's insane. Uber, according to self-reported financials, said it lost, on a GAAP basis, $1.07 billion as it continues to invest in new areas such as bicycles, scooters, and freight shipments. The company is still growing, however, as the revenue rose 38% from a year ago to $2.95 billion. All but those gains are down 51% from previous quarter, meaning that overall the speed of growth is slightly down. Uber earned $12.7 billion for gross bookings, and but still, you know, come up a little bit short here. This comes ahead of the company's anticipated IPO next year, to which some are valuing the company at $120 billion, more than double its last reported private valuation of $62 billion. So we'll see what happens here. And just crazy, lost $1 billion in a quarter. Amazon has launched a new portal called Second Chance. They're encouraging you to recycle your old gadgets. It compiles information on how to recycle, repair, and return devices. The e-commerce giant calls it a one-stop shop, where you can learn how to responsibly get rid of your old gadgets laying around taking up space. I know that I've got enough of them around here. Some I don't want to give up because they're almost collector's items. But you always in the back of your head, you're thinking there's a lithium battery in there that someday is probably going to swell up. So anyway, link up and be in the show notes on that and some ways to recycle some gadgets as we're heading into the holiday season. Project Fi, you guys remember we talked about Project Fi. Google has recently upgraded its virtual private network feature for Project Fi, allowing users the option to use a VPN for everything they do on Project Fi, Wi-Fi and cellular connections alike. So this is kind of cool. So so when you're on, if you have a Google Project Fi phone, you can be on a VPN at any time. That's kind of cool, yeah? I like that. Twitter's Explore tab starts sorting some stories into sections. The update is only available in the United States. And the platform says it implemented the change to make Explore easy to, well, explore and to give a quick way to find stories you actually like to read. Twitter launched Explore early last year to put trending topics and the biggest news on the platform, as well as search in one location. The company started serving ads within the tab back in July. Now, when you visit from your iPhone or iPad, you'll see sections such as news, sports, fun, and entertainment. Tapping one of the loading trending topics for that particular section. So, I want to see stuff that I'm interested in. I don't want to see so much news. So, we'll see if this does this. All right. You got some old game consoles? Well, there's some great places to buy old games. And the folks here at Kotaku, I like Kotaku as a website to know some of the writers over there. You do know that garage sales are a great place to pick up old games. That's always a great place. Swap meets, flea markets. Goodwill has a huge number as well. Game conventions have rare stuff too. You may pay a little bit of a bigger price. Of course, there's some stores, secondhand stores that sell these as well. eBay, lots of places to buy secondhand games, and you can find just about anything you want out there. So if you have some consoles that you want to hang on to, but you've got some games you want to fill your collection, that might be a way to do that. Over on Android Central, they're talking about the folks at Plex. New Plex subscribers can sign up for a lifetime pass for just $89.99. The lifetime pass of Plex is normally $150, but right now it's discounted to $119. Okay. They've got a code on this website that will take another $30 off the cost of a lifetime Plex pass. This deal is for new members and won't work if you already have a subscription. So anyway, Plex and Plex Media Server, it's an option for you here to save a little money if you've been looking at the specific service, all right? Also, Black Friday is soon upon us, and you can get some big discounts before Black Friday. Everyone's, they're looking for your money. B&H has got some deals out there. The Google Store, Amazon, of course, Mass Drop, Samsung, Sam's Club, Microsoft, Best Buy, GameStop, Newegg, you name it. We've got the links on Geek News Central that's in the show notes today. Definitely check that out. Go shopping early and save time. Don't fight the crowds on Friday. Also, you can get a $10 award-winning, you can get 10 award-winning Mac apps for $25. And I've been looking through this list. It's not bad. They've got a YouTube video that kind of explains each one. Link will be up in the show notes. Maybe there's some options for you there. Also, Amazon is discontinuing the Echo and Fire devices for Black Friday. So, they've got a whole bunch of new stuff. The Echo Dot, Echo Dot Kids Edition, Echo Second Generation, Echo Red, all new Echo Plus, Echo Spot, Echo Show. But they are discontinuing some devices. So that's kind of be expected here because they've rolled out a whole bunch of new stuff. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes and save big money on those devices over the next couple of weeks. CNET's reporting eBay has a toy catalog offering $11,000 Boba Fett and $100,000 Transformer. Old and new toys mingle for the holidays. So if you're looking to buy collectibles, a vintage Star Wars, that kind of stuff, they've got some of that high-grade stuff available. They also has, you know, a $20 Bumblebee and $10 Marvel figures as well. So if you're a collector, this might be a way to score one of those pieces that you've been hoping for a long, long time. All right, before I go tonight, there was a brand new site that has been launched by Google. It's called web.dev, and it allows, and I just sent an email off to the guy that just got done working on Geek News Central and doing a whole bunch of work. And I said, hey, look at this new site and look at the new suggestions it has for Geek News Central. And it's, you know, look at all these things here that, you know, we could use to make the site even more faster. So, and it's even accessibility stuff. And I had to laugh because I'm sure I'm going to give this guy a coronary in trying to figure out what we can do to continue to improve the performance of Geek News Central. I'm very, very serious about this. We've talked about it on the show quite a bit. And a lot of it has to do with the template. And I've learned more about this kind of stuff than I probably should. But it's you know, it's one in the speed is way up on the website, especially the sub pages. The homepage is always going to be a little bit slower, but the individual blog post pages are really rocking and scoring high on the indexing scores. I'm real happy with that. But it's just like, okay, tweak everything we can, and then we'll look at the hardware. But the hardware is pretty high performance already. But this is a pretty cool thing. If you have a website, web.dev/measure. I didn't even know .dev was a domain name, to be frank. I really, really didn't. Okay, I think that's going to wrap us up. Let me go back here and see if I've got any email that has come in. I'm on the wrong account. Bada bing, bada boom. Let's look over here. What has come in? No, I already read this email. All right, so that's going to wrap us. We're going to get out of here. Not bad on time today. I want to thank you all for hanging out with me here. It's honestly to be... I felt a little weird not doing the show Monday, but I was in agony and was getting, you know, I was a little bit better, but still I'd have been wiggling in the chair for a whole hour. The live stream stuff worked tonight. We had some hiccups on the last show with the folks at Wowza, but everything stayed up hot and heavy today. So I'm pretty pleased with that. I'll be definitely checking all the connections and how it looked on the other side, but I think we're good. Everyone will be back with you on Monday. Obviously, there will be no show on Thanksgiving. So again, kind of onesie twosies in a row, but you know, back on schedule after the holiday. A couple of shows where I will be audio only. But it's been my pleasure to bring you a show here. I really, truly thank you for being part of the Ohana. Thank you for your ongoing support of our sponsor, Geek News Central. I mean, GoDaddy.com. And you can find that at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. But how do you think we've been doing this year? How's the show been? You've been enjoying it? Have I been slacking off? Have I been falling into any bad habits? Love to hear your feedback as we're getting close to the end of the year. It's always time to tweak. And to be honest with you, this year has just, boom. I mean, I'm way behind on planning for CES and a whole bunch of other stuff. And at some point, you just kind of have to say, oh, well. Because I just can't get it all done. It's just impossible. And some stuff is just going to have to drop by the wayside. I just, there's not enough hours in the day for me to get her all done. As long as I get two shows a week out as much as the best I can, and keep you guys happy with content. I think that's the most important thing. But yeah, it's been a busy year. It's been an amazing year, to be honest with you. Matter of fact, I'm meeting with my team at Raw Voice tomorrow morning. We're going to have a team meeting where we're going to go over a whole bunch of items, including company sales performance, what's going on in support, what's going on with dev. And we're doing these every monthly kind of roundtables with the team to keep everyone fully in the loop, because we got people that are spread out in different locations. Not everyone's in the office in Columbus. Just part of the daily routine of running a podcasting company, and at the same time, doing what I do here and juggling multiple hats and trying to keep my, you know, everything on track. Now that my back's feeling better, I will attempt to go light in the gym tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. But hey, it's been my pleasure bringing the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. We'll see you on the next go around. And everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.